It's an unusual scene, negotiations for prisoner releases in return for people's lives being played out in public. That's what's happening between Jordan and the Islamic State militants at the moment. IS has demanded the release of an Iraqi prisoner held by Jordan by sunset tonight. If not, it says, it will kill a Jordanian pilot whom it's holding. IS has made no reference to a Japanese prisoner, Kenji Goto, whose voice is supposedly on a video clip making the demands on its behalf. The Iraqi prisoner is Sajida al-Rashawi, who was sentenced to death in Jordan for killing 60 people in a bomb attack in the capital Amman in 2005. Fawaz Gurgis is Professor of Middle East Relations at the London School of Economics, and he's on the line now. Professor Gurgis, first of all, is Jordan under pressure here to agree a deal from home? Because this pilot who's being held by IS, he's from a very powerful tribe, very powerful family in Jordan.
Very, very much. What the so-called Islamic State has done is to create a major domestic crisis, not only for the Jordanian government, but even for the Japanese prime minister. ISIS, or the so-called Islamic State, is playing domestic and foreign policy and using the hostages as a potent and effective foreign policy tool against the Jordanian government. Just to give you listeners an idea about the pressure under which the Jordanian government is under. Yesterday, hundreds of this powerful tribe, to which the pilot, the captured pilot, his name is Muaz al-Kasasiba, not only protested in front of the presidential, the royal palace and the government, but even explicitly threatened that if the pilot is not released, there would be a revolt in Jordan, that basically a major, major revolt against the government and the king personally. This tells you a great deal why the Jordanian government responded immediately, because this particular tribe, the tribe that belong that the pilot belongs to, is part of the social base on which the Jordanian government depends. And this tells us a great deal how the strategy of ISIS has evolved in the last few months, from initially using hostages for ransom money, now to really playing big politics and international relations with the lives of hostages.
And we also have to bear in mind, don't we, that Jordan has a majority Sunni population, and King Abdullah of Jordan is very much part of the Western coalition against Islamic State.
Not only the family and the tribe of the pilot, Muaz, have basically directly warned that if the pilot is not released, and they have held the Jordanian government responsible, this is the irony, they have explicitly called on the Jordanian government to pull out of the international coalition led by the United States. Again, this tells you, obviously, that ISIS is going to play it and keep on playing it, because obviously it's producing results. And the Japanese prime minister, too, has come under tremendous pressure by the public opinion in Japan for providing $200 million in assistance for some of the countries who are facing the onslaught by ISIS. Again, there is a direct relationship between the demands of ISIS and the domestic crisis faced by both the Jordanian government and the Japanese government.
I mean, this is very dangerous for Jordan. The region around it is imploding. It's full of Palestinians. It's full of Syrian refugees. How can King Abdullah stop it being the next country in the region to erupt?
Well, you're absolutely correct. Jordan is in the eye of the storm. It faces major social, political and economic problems. I mean, you're talking about abject poverty, huge unemployment. You have this divide between Palestinians and Jordanians. It has about 800,000 Syrian refugees. It's also extremists of the ISIS variety have a base, a major base. We're talking about thousands of followers. In fact, the third largest contingent fighting with ISIS are Jordanian, 2,089 Jordanian fighters. Most of them basically play leadership role both in ISIS and Al-Nusra Front. Al-Nusra Front is the official arm of Al-Qaeda. This tells you about the challenges facing the king and how he is trying to walk a fine line. While being in the international coalition led by the United States, now he has to rethink his own strategy and make sure that Jordan does not really is not really overwhelmed by the multiple challenges, both from the inside and the outside.
And how much is he directly responsible for the increased security risk in his own country? Because he has adopted a very different stance on political Islam, on militants, than his father, King Hussein, has.
Well, I mean, King Hussein's major goal was to really, survival. This is a very small country. It's very poor in resources. It's in the eye of the fierce regional struggles, including the Arab-Israeli conflict, Iraq, Syria, what have you. King Abdullah has taken a much more, you might say, muscular approach. By joining the American-led coalition, Jordan basically needs resources, and the Americans and the Saudis and the Emiratis have provided Jordan with very precious economic resources. So again, he faces a similar predicament, but he also, particularly the king himself, believes that Arab countries, Arabs and Muslims, must stand up and basically defend what he called moderate middle Islam, as opposed to the extremist Islam championed by ISIS. So he feels it's the moral duty of Arabs, and Sunni Arabs in particular, to wage this war. This is about the future of moderate Islam, and Jordan is an integral part of this particular fight.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your analysis this morning. Fawaz Gergay is Professor of Middle East Relations at the LSE. We can go to Japan now and hear the views on their hostage who's being held by Islamic State. David McNeil is a journalist in Tokyo. David, what's the view there? Are they worried that their man will get left out of these negotiations between Jordan and Islamic State?
Well, yes. I mean, the government is keeping its cards very close to its chest. But talking to people off the record, what they say is they've sort of essentially been reduced, the government, that is essentially being reduced to the role of onlooker in this drama, because it seems to be played out now between Jordan and the Jordanian government and IS. And the Japanese government, of course, is just immensely worried about the fate of its own citizen, Kenji Goto. But he seems to have dropped out of the picture for now, because this pilot, of course, and the Al-Qaeda prisoner on death row are the two people who are the main characters in this drama for now.
And what is public opinion? Whose side is it on there? Do they want their government to negotiate with IS?
Well, that's a complicated question. And, I mean, I think that most people feel that the government could be doing more to help rescue Kenji Goto. There is a large element of public opinion that says that one of these Japanese citizens has already been executed, but that they got themselves into this mess and that they really are responsible for their own fate. But the longer this goes on, you know, I think that this will be very difficult for Mr. Abe. Basically, if Mr. Goto, the remaining hostage, is freed, then it will be seen as a victory for Mr. Abe, because he has taken a no compromise attitude to the drama, and he has said that he will not negotiate. If Mr. Goto is released, then that play will have seemed to have won, I suppose. If he, on the other hand, the worst happens and he's executed, then I think public opinion will come down very heavily against Mr. Abe.
David, thank you very much indeed. David McNeil, journalist in Tokyo, brings the time to just